Hey Potters, welcome to episode 213 of Crosspod, the podcast for all things cosplay, and apparently all things being set on fire, because that's what we do in the year 2020, kids.
Set all the things on fire in a blaze of glory.
Just everything is on fire, whether we set it or not. It's just there. So what are you going to do? You're going to cosplay, and you're going to make cosplay, and you're not going to go to conventions because everything's canceled.
That's not true. Most things are canceled. Some things are destined to be canceled eventually.
Well, here in the city of Dallas, they have re-canceled all outdoor gatherings with 100 people or more, which means no cons anyway.
Yeah. Not like it was going to happen.
So any cons that we're going to try and start back up? Nope. So we're all going to sit at home and make more cosplay.
Pretty much.
And hopefully not set things on fire, although given the fire alarm, some of my neighbors have been doing that.
Of course, because they're home more.
Because we're all learning how to cook. That's how you learn how to cook. Dinner's done when the alarm goes off.
There you go. Just hopefully it's still not like super charred so you can actually eat it.
But yes, speaking of COVID and wearing masks, segue.
You can still do this.
You can still do this, even though they just announced they're not making segues anymore. So, speaking of cosplay updates and masks, I have spent more time making more. Hooray. Here's my little, you guys can see my little musical note fabric, because nobody was showing the music fabric any love at Walmart, so I bought a couple of fat quarters, which, surprisingly, Walmart still doesn't have very much fabric left in their department. And it makes me very happy seeing all of the hand-sewn, very clearly hand-sewn masks everywhere around the area. Not just here in Dallas, but just even you can see them on news reports around the world. It makes me so happy people are sewing and learning how to sew and working with patterns, whether it's commercial patterns or drafting your own. Oh, that makes me so happy. In fact, I actually, this is a drafted pattern, Val. You'll be so proud of me. This is not a commercial pattern.
Yay!
This was completely drafted from scratch.
Good.
By looking at somebody else's pattern.
But it custom fits for you, and that's all that matters.
Yes. It is definitely custom fit for me. And in fact, I have tweaked this design twice now. Because those of us with glasses have to worry about fogging them up.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So I've had to, you know, change the design a couple of times so that I can actually see when I walk around in different stores.
Mm.
So, hey. Luster Candy, I actually haven't had to order fabric just yet. But then again, that's probably because most of my local stores still have it in stock. I haven't needed any specialty yet.
Yeah. For me, because because I've seen how people have been acting and I don't want to be near or anywhere around that mess. I've been trying to avoid going out as much as possible. So I have been ordering online, but because everybody else is backed up online with all the increased sales and they're trying to be safe too, it's like either I get my order in 5 weeks or I don't get it at all. So I've just kind of given up at this point. Like, you know, I bought some Halloween fabric recently, like as in today. I don't expect to get it for at least a month and a half, 2 months if I'm lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Basically where we're at right now. It is what it is.
Yeah, I know that I had made myself the vow, and of course I made the vow publicly here on the podcast anyway, that I was going to use up the fabric that I had before I bought new stuff. I mean, aside from mask-making fabric. So I've actually been doing that. I have not purchased any new fabric for any other cosplay.
Good.
I have been using up what I have. And I have been studiously using up every scrap I have. Even if I have just little lengths of fabric that are like 6 inches long, I've been sewing those into tubes to use as the little ear loops for my mask.
Nice.
So I've literally been using up every scrap of fabric that I have. And in fact, I had exactly 1 yard of mint green fabric. This is mint green. There you go. Now you can see it. My terrible, terrible lighting doesn't really show it that well. I bought this as a remnant forever ago. I had no idea what I was going to use it for. Probably for patterning reasons or for lining or maybe for practice reasons. Who knows? I have had this sitting around probably for a good 8 years. and never done anything with it until now, because it is now a nice little sleeveless shirt.
Yay!
And all of the edges are nicely finished with self-made bias double turned, so everything is nice and clean. And Val, you're going to be so proud of me.
Are there pockets?
No. Hand embroidery.
Oh, okay. I'm still proud of you.
You kind of see a little of it. It's a little wrinkled because I haven't been using a hoop. I hold it in my hands. In fact, I did not draw the design with ballpoint pen.
It's a miracle. Christmas is early. Christmas has arrived early.
I did have to lightly sketch it in pencil so I could see where I was going.
We need to get you Taylor's chalk.
Well, I didn't have any, which is why I used pencil. If I had Taylor's chalk, I would have used it. I didn't have any.
I'm going to send you a whole box.
This was one of those designs where I had to custom make a template. So I made the template, and then I traced through the template, and I did not use puffy paint. I am literally hand embroidering this, and the design goes all the way down the front. And then I will wear it.
Cool.
So hooray for using up scrap fabric to make things. And plus it's nice and it's a nerdy kind of design, so I can wear this as casual wear to conventions, which is nice. And speaking of conventions and convention wear, new patterns.
Yay.
And this was the one that I was talking about that you told me was from some sort of academy.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. It's a Netflix show.
That's the one. Yep. So I went ahead and I got this pattern because $1.99. You can see Simplicity has changed the design of their envelopes now. It almost looks a little bit more old school.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that they've done it. And they've also changed their sizing a little bit. So make sure that if you guys are buying patterns, read the back of the envelope because they changed a little bit which measurements fall under which sizes. And then they're getting back into steampunk again.
That's really pretty.
And so I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind having a steampunk outfit because I've noticed that at a lot of conventions, steampunk tea is becoming a thing. But you can only attend if you are dressed in steampunk attire. And I was like, but I want to play too. So I have to make myself a steampunk outfit at some point. Obviously, I'm not going to buy any more fabric for this. So this pattern is going to sit, like all of the others, in what are now two paper boxes until I have the wherewithal to make this. Which, if we're going to be in quarantine for the next year, I'm going to have plenty of time to sit and work on this.
You definitely will.
So, speaking of lots of time in quarantine,
she has so much stuff, which makes up for me.
I have so much stuff I've been working on.
So, I haven't, so.
So, my ceiling is still falling apart, which you guys have seen for the last two episodes now. My sofa is still sitting in front of the back door because I can't move anything until they fix my ceiling, which means I still can't go outside and work on Athena. So, I've taken a little break from Athena for a while. So, what I ended up doing, since I had to take all the props down off of my wall because ceiling fell on them, is I am restoring some of my older props, which if you guys have never seen this, this is one of my Legolas daggers that I carved. And because of Texas heat, you can see it's separating a little. The styrene is coming off, and the styrene was actually never really that well done to begin with, honestly. So I went to Joann's, and this will be a first for me. I got some nice paper. This is sparkly gold paper. It is the closest I could approximate the stuff that they used in the movie. And then I had to painfully make myself the template that, yes, I'm going to trace through. I'm going to have to cut all of that out. That's the design. Because I can't, you know, I can't acid wash wood. That's how they did it in the movie. They acid washed steel. I can't do that. My landlord would not be happy with me.
No, not really.
So I'm going to at least give it the appearance of that with nice, shiny, like, good quality paper this time. So that was another thing that I worked on. And then the last thing that I've been working on, because clearly I don't have enough to do with all of my free time. Speaking of swords, This is real steel. This is Arwen's sword from Lord of the Rings, because if you guys did not know, I have cosplayed as Arwen, and it was actually one of the awards that I have won in cosplay at AllCon way back in the day.
She also really loves Lord of the Rings.
I really like Lord of the Rings. So, since I bought this sword, and I use it because I am a cosplayer, unfortunately, the sweat that was on my hands, you can see, has pretty much eliminated all of the nice decor that was on the hilt of the sword. So I took some plain gold acrylic paint, and using my legendary steady hands, I have started restoring it. So you can see the part that is brighter gold was me. This is the original stuff that wore away, and then you can see it's gone. So thankfully, since the, I guess you'd say, the ghost of the pattern, the shadow of the pattern is still there.
The former pattern exists.
Yeah, it's, you can still see where on the wood the pattern went. So thankfully I don't have to draw another template and then use that as the pattern. I can use what's already on here. Mm-hmm. I just have to be really, really, really careful when I paint it, because I don't have fine enough tools to wipe away mistakes. Q-tips are actually too big. So, yeah. This is what I've been spending my time doing. Also, kids, do not grab swords the way I am grabbing them, by the blade, with the hands on the blade. This is not sharp. Do not do this with sharpened blades, please. You will hurt yourself. This is a prop weapon. It is heavy, and it could hurt somebody, but it's a prop. So, that is what I have been working on since the last time we had a formal episode, because it's actually been a month.
It has been a
month. If you count the cosplay contest, which, if you guys have not seen the official cosplay contest for AllCon 2020, you can see it on our channel. Yes, Wave Rod, I do play with fire and with swords, but oddly enough, I've never forged one. I've never put the two together. May have to work on that.
We have to work on that one. Maybe we'll make that a surprise birthday gift for you. It's no longer a surprise.
You can be an apprentice to a blacksmith, assuming that, you know, we don't still have COVID in March and April of next year when Scarborough opens back up.
It'll be the plague. It's fine.
I mean, they always say kill it with fire, so all we have to do is just kill the plague with fire.
Yeah, just immerse ourselves with fire. It'll be fine.
It was good enough for the human torch.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Now you just need to flash the picture up in the podcast of the dog sitting at the table with the tea.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
This is fine. But as far as cosplay updates for me, I got nothing other than to lovingly remind everybody to, hey, support AllCon. Go donate to their March Recovery Fund, or you can buy your passes for 2021. Because they're at a discounted price right now. So go do that. That'd be great. That's all I got. I'm informative.
And yes, that was well played, Wave Rod. And all I can say is, you know, if I drew the Cospod icon in fire, we'd have a fire emblem.
Oh, man.
Right back at you.
And that's all from Cospod today. Thank you guys so much for showing up to the episode. Oh, man, that was awful.
Cosplay, stay for the dad jokes.
You really do. That's the whole... Maybe we should make that our new tagline.
Come for cosplay, stay for the dad jokes?
Yeah. We've been at this for 9 seasons. Maybe by season 10 we change it.
No, we can't change the formula. Don't break. Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
We're not changing the formula. We're just changing the tagline. That's it. It's still the same formula.
Okay.
The look may change. The format is still us being weird.
Speaking of changing formulas.
Yeah.
And changing how something is made and perceived.
Uh-huh.
Like, say, the formula for creating a cosplay community.
Oh, is this your segue?
This is my segue number two.
Steering it back into the conversation. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about cosplay. And is cosplay a community? What's funny is that this topic initially came up the week that we were going to be filming for AllCon episode. And I was like, this is such a great topic. And then we had to wait on this. So it's like, crud, this is not... We're still going to talk about this. We are totally going to talk about this. And it came up because I found this tweet that happened to get pretty viral. Unfortunately, I couldn't get permission from the user to share that tweet. I don't know if it just got lost in the mix, but that's fine. But basically, the tweet was... cosplay is not a community because communities support each other, they lift each other up, and that's not something that this person saw in cosplay. And there were quite a number of responses afterwards, a lot of them in agreement with the comment. So I thought this would be a very interesting topic for us to talk about. And Amber and I actually have some slightly differing opinions on this topic, which will make it even more interesting.
So I just wanted to start out just dating ourselves, and I don't mean dating in the relationship sense, but
age-wise.
The very first cosplay community that I was part of was cosplay.com.
Yeah. Cuz that's all we really had. That was like the early internet days of it was cosplay.com and then later on AC Paradise, which is still around, still kicking. Both of them are. But yeah, like cosplay.com was the it thing. We didn't really have social media on the level that we had it now. Like Facebook was still in its infancy. Twitter didn't exist yet. Instagram didn't exist. It was basically message boards and the forum message boards that were associated with conventions if they had the money to support it. So
yep,
yeah,
BBS.
Yeah. So cosplay.com was pretty much it.
And that was effectively your community. That was where you got to know other people who cosplayed if you couldn't meet them in person mm-hmm. at a con, because cons at the same time also were still kind of in a growth phase way back in the day when we were all still on, you know, bulletin boards.
Woo!
And that was where you learned how to make things.
Yeah.
This was before YouTube had really hit its peak. We didn't have video tutorials. You would go on cosplay.com in one of the many threads that people started, either by the person. So if you had a lot of cosplay tutorials, then the threads would be as you under the creator. Or if you wanted to know how a specific character's costume was made, then you would find a thread under that character's name. And you would find tutorials under there. That's how you learned how to make things in cosplay, is you would read instructions and see progress photos posted on the boards. It was great. There were no movie characters at all.
It was so old school, but so wonderful at the time, because that's all we really had. But it was a great way to organize everything, because you could find what you need within reason. Because people still weren't posting things on blogs or DeviantArt, because even DeviantArt became kind of like the go-to for big, big picture tutorials. But just having one place as a resource was invaluable when we were starting out in cosplay in the early 2000s.
And I think, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, it was more about the cosplay there than it was about the characters and the fandoms. It was more focused on the process of cosplay, of making the cosplay, of wearing the cosplay, of being the character. But being the character in a general sense, like performance art. So it was very close, but at the same time, it wasn't quite the same kind of open sharing that we have today in terms of tutorials. So yeah, people generally would share their techniques and everything, but there wasn't quite the flood that we have now of, you want to know how to do X, Y, or Z? Here are 5 tutorials on each of them. So it was personally closer, but we didn't quite have the same level of sharing. And then came Wonderflex? No, Wonderflex didn't change the cosplay community.
No, kind of did, though. I mean, Wonderflex really broke into it, but then Warbler kind of completely shifted how we thought about it.
I've already forgotten
It's still a big thing.
But it was bad enough that I forgot the name of the thing that
Yeah.
fundamentally changed people getting into cosplay, because for the longest time with community, cosplay wasn't as accessible to everybody. I know a lot of people were still kind of hesitant about do it yourself, because a lot of cosplay was still very
Very
do it
much
yourself.
do it yourself.
You couldn't go on, Mick Costumes or Cosplay House or Alibaba or anything and just buy the cosplay like you can now. Pretty much, if you wanted to cosplay, you had to do it. And that meant that it was a very kind of small group of people. And then came Warbla, which put cosplay into many, many more households, as long as you could afford the sheet of Warbla and a heat gun, which you can get for $10 at Harbor Freight back in the day.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there were all these tutorials online. This was when YouTube was coming into its heyday, and people were starting to put out ebooks, and Twitch was in its infancy, and Twitter was in its infancy, and all of a sudden, everything just went poof. Insert explosion here. Oh, good point, Lester Candy. We also got good wigs.
Yeah.
And everything just kind of at the same time became accessible, and then everybody could join the cosplay community. And maybe that's a good place for kind of where we start our, I don't want to call it debate because it's not really a debate,
Discussion.
discussion. That's right about like when both of us were in our cosplay infancy too.
Sure, yeah. Like, 'cause I started getting into it in 2006, 2007-ish. And by then, like, social media still was kind of in the infancy. We were all still kind of playing with it. Like, the only reason I had a Facebook account was because I went to one of the very few schools when Facebook, back in the old days, kids, with Facebook, it was only available on certain college campuses. Not everybody had access to it like you could now. I happened to go to a school with one of the campuses that did have Facebook access. So, like, I'm like uber early Facebook origins right here. But, like, the idea of fan pages and having all that type of content just did not exist. It really was like Coscom. And if you were lucky, AC Paradise, but I never really had any whole lot of luck with them. So it was basically cosplay.com. So I could definitely see back then where it felt like it had more of a community aspect because it was still such a niche hobby. It was so few of us, and we all were using the same resources and the same knowledge and sharing that information with each other as best as we could. And the same thing with the local con scene because cosplay was there. But definitely not at the level as it is today. Back then, it was just so few people. It was small. It felt like you were part of a nice, cool hangout group of, hey, we're all these makers cosplaying from our favorite series of whatever. And then trading tips with each other while we're there. So having that framework, I think, especially back then, is probably why we got this community aspect, is because there were just so few of us. It was up all about sharing and having knowledge and resources to give one to another, and not necessarily about competing with each other on social media.
And I think back in those early days of our conventioneering, that a lot of the cosplayers you saw were the same people.
Yeah.
So you came to know a lot of the other cosplayers well, if not in person, at least by reputation, because we'd all attend the same cons and you'd always see the same people cosplaying. It'd be different cosplays, but it'd be the same person.
Same thing with like when they started doing bringing in cosplayers as guests. I mean, it was basically like the same four or five cosplayers every time. They were always great people, had wonderful knowledge, but you knew exactly who they were. So, and it made it easy too because they were like, oh yeah, I just talked to her like 5 days ago on Coscom.
And even back in those days, you could, go talk with the guest cosplayer because there would be enough time and they were very willing to come and hang out with the fans because there wasn't quite as much of a schedule crunch as there might be now.
And it wasn't so much for them about a business. It wasn't like they were at a booth selling things. It was they were there to teach panels, to showcase their knowledge, to share that information, and really get to kind of spread the love and awareness of cosplay more than anything.
It was so much about love of crossplay.
It was
So much.
very different back then, and I remember when I was rereading the Twitter chat on that, it was like a lot of people were like, man, do you remember when cosplay was like in like the early 2000s and how different it was compared today? And it's like, yeah, it was a very different scene.
Of course, we say this, and we are very keenly aware that cosplay did not start in the early 2000s.
No. It was just a different scene back then compared to now. So different.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people, please don't take offense. We're not saying cosplay started when we started in it. No. We know it's older.
Much more so. I've taught a history of cosplay panel, so it is very much older than that.
And of course, fast forward about 10 years-ish, and we
Yeah.
start kind of getting into the more, I guess you might call it modern evolution
The
of
modern
cosplay.
evolution, because now it's at the point where, because even like from 5 years ago to now, it's kind of still pretty much in that same spot. It's much more accessible. It's become very popular, very profitable too. There are so many businesses that are tailored towards cosplay and other
You
industries.
have commercial patterns for it
Yeah,
now.
and other industries are jumping in to get a piece of that pie. I mean, social media has become the king for how cosplay awareness was spread. So now we kind of utilize that as our main form of communication. It's changed not only how we perceive cosplay, but how we interact with it.
And cosplayers. In fact, I think I would probably say that it's the primary way that we generally interact with other cosplayers who aren't our, local friends. So it's not only the way that you get to know cosplayers, but it's also the way that people talk about cosplay at upcoming conventions. People will join online social media groups like the RPF, Replica Prop Forum, to get tutorials and to get assistance from other cosplayers on how to do stuff. There are tons of cosplay forums in different social media apps like Cosmunity, where people can interact with other cosplayers that way and do the whole, like, here's my cosplay profile, here's all the different cosplays that I have, here are my interests in cosplay, that sort of thing.
The multitude of billions of Facebook groups. You have to have, like, Dragon Con, I think, officially has like 20 different groups, and like half of them are costume related. And they're all under the Dragon Con umbrella, so they're official. But then you have all the unofficial Dragon Con groups, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it is so much to keep up with.
It's just grown so large at this point that it can be really to keep be hard to keep up with as a whole. And I know that I've stopped trying for a few years.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible to stay on top of because that is just so much out there.
And I think this is a bit where Val and I start to differ. Because it depends a little bit on your definition of community, which I just Googled so I could check myself, just to be sure. And apparently, the formal definition of community is people that share something in common, in the loosest general sense of what community is, discounting the television show. So, by that definition,
Great
I
TV
mean,
show.
technically, yes, cosplay is a community because we all have cosplay and costuming in common.
Sure.
But I think more of what we're getting at is a community in the sense of a gathering of people that not only share a hobby in common, but also share passions in common, and to an extent, some feelings and opinions maybe about the hobby or different aspects of the hobby.
Yeah, and for me, I would actually take that definition a step further and say that the community aspect is about uplifting one another, about respecting each other, about making it a place to really better oneself and to better everyone around you. I think that's part of the community aspect, I should say.
I think that's what community should be.
It's a nice ideal, and I think And this is where we start to differ, is that I do see that there are subsets of communities within cosplay that do meet that vision, because I'm in like two of those groups, and I think they represent exactly what I think cosplay should be for everyone. They're open, they're welcoming, they're diverse, they take so many different opinions and ideas, but they respect everyone, but they also make sure to provide tools and tutorials and tips to really bring the best out of everyone's maker side. But I think as a whole, cosplay has become so big, I can't really classify it as a community any longer. We all have so many different ideas and variations of what cosplay is and isn't that we don't really communicate with each other as a community anymore.
See, I still kind of view cosplay as a whole, particularly those who have been doing it for a little while. I'd even say as few as maybe 2 years. That we're still a community, if a very divided community, a very opinionated community, a very passionate community, but we're still loosely a community. We know other cosplayers when we see them. As a general rule, cosplayers tend to be civil and respectful until you get on social media. I'm speaking in person at conventions, and we all tend to enjoy the same aspects of cosplay, of making the cosplay, of wearing the cosplay, maybe except for makeup and body paint, and of learning new things to be able to make cosplay and to make it happen. And the most part, most of us love conventioneering, barring parking in a hotel and cosplaying
Aside from the obvious.
stuff. Yes. So, in a way, I think we're just a really, 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 really loose community.
Yeah, and
We're
way
just opinionated people.
especially when it comes to the online part of it, which I'll get to in a moment. Waveron made a very good point, and that's one thing that I've been toying with. The idea is not calling us a community, but calling us a society.
Oh, that sounds very Harry Potter.
No, I wouldn't say Harry
Feel
Potter.
like we're one. Well, what I'm getting at is one of the houses that is set
Oh.
aside. It's separate from everyone else. There's something that differentiates it, not just in a common way of like my name is different than yours, but it's like you have a different social status kind of thing. That's how it comes across to me.
But I could probably argue that that's kind of what cosplay has become in some ways. We may not want to believe it or agree with it, but I mean, when you think about it, like who are our top-tier cosplayers? And the fact that I say that already
That's a
says,
different story.
yeah.
I would definitely agree that cosplay, we'll call it society, cosplay society has become striated or divided definitely by socioeconomic status. If you have money, if you have time, if you can make it your day job, those people tend to be far more successful in cosplay. When you're speaking of things like awards and speaking engagements and reputation and ability to make money off of this hobby, they tend to do a lot better than people who may not have those opportunities or resources.
Very much so.
Yes. So I think we can at least agree on that aspect. I know that. With social media not only being the primary way that we communicate, it also has heavily, heavily become the primary way that people promote themselves in cosplay.
Exactly, because there really is no other outlet at this point. What used to be, hey, go to cosplay.com and we can figure out what conventions are coming up so that way we can kind of, promote ourselves that way. That's kind of out and dead in the water. It's all about social media now. If your name is not out there and you don't have hundreds of thousands of likes and follows and shares and retweets and pictures and whatnot, chances that you're going to get accepted by a convention are still kind of slim, which is rather unfortunate. That's the moniker of you are successful in cosplay based on how many likes you have. And it becomes a competition in its own right. then it's like, okay, what's the biggest, baddest build that I could make so that way I can get hundreds of thousands of shares? What's the skimpiest thing I can wear so that way everybody will start following me? And it becomes a beauty pageant in a very perverse way, not in the way that we intended to with cosplay. Yeah, we want to feel great in our costume, but not in this kind of atmosphere.
To address Ali's comment, she says, so just because they do better, they aren't a part of the community. That's not quite what I think we're getting at. It's more of, for those who are not of the United States, please forgive me because I'm about to make a metaphor that is very much United States. If you think of those who have done really well in our society, people like Bill Gates, like Jeff Bezos, like many of our politicians, like many of our governmental leaders, that sort of thing, they've done really well. Are they, you know, not part of society? No, they're still definitely part of our society, but it's that the success that they have achieved, and I'm speaking for only myself at the moment, the success that they have achieved becomes so consuming to maintain for them that they don't necessarily have the time or the resources to give to normal life. It's as though they live in a different way than everyone else does. And because of that, they seem to be like part of a Venn diagram that's a smaller subset of that society that the rest of us can't touch. And I think, at least for my part, that's what I'm getting at for the upper echelon of cosplayers, is that they're definitely part of our community, but they seem so far away and untouchable a lot of the time that it's really hard to, you know, like we did back in the day, get that personal moment with the cosplayer, spend 10 or 15 or even 30 minutes just talking shop before a panel, because they would be sitting there waiting to teach their panel along with the rest of us. And we could just sit there like they were another cosplayer and just talk. And it was wonderful. And nowadays you see cosplay guests just kind of rushing from panel to panel, or they're constantly at their table trying to sell merch and monetize so that they can keep up that level of success, that it just, it feels a little different. It's a different experience.
That's a really fantastic explanation.
And I know that if I had that level of fame, I honestly don't know how I could stand it. Just because I'm already so busy in my life that having to spend so much time, because if you look at, you know, cosplay community, how well known or not that you are is very heavily dependent on how active you are in social media. So if you don't have the time to do that constantly, to promote yourself, to put out pictures, to put out tutorials, you have to be writing ebooks, you have to be putting out in progress pictures. If you look at some of the top line cosplayers right now, their social media is constant. And the community all watches them. How much time do they have to watch the community?
Yeah.
And interact with them?
I mean, even when you get to a point in your career where you can hire people to manage your social media, to handle and manage your business, where you're just working behind the scenes as more of like the art director and less as the person being the one taking care of everything 24/7, you still have so many people that you have to handle and take care of that you kind of removed yourself from being part of cosplay as a whole. You're still there, but you're in this upper echelon niche, like right over here, that's very difficult to obtain. So you're not really directly communicating with everybody else and what's going on and the issues that are being pervasive right now in cosplay. It's difficult.
And they just genuinely may not have the time to keep up with it. We're not saying that they're ignoring the public, like, you know, elitist nose up in the air.
No. It really is genuinely,
they may just not have time.
There's 24 hours in a day and people got to eat, people got to sleep.
And many of those cosplayers have literally thousands of fans that are messaging and posting them. It can be exhausting to keep up with.
Yeah. I mean, that is a real thing. That's why you don't see them answer all the messages or don't answer all the posts, because they just can't. It is not possible.
And just to get... I'm sorry. Cosplay community also tends to be divided by those celebrities and how you feel about them. There are people who like or dislike how certain cosplayers cosplay. I will not name names. It is fairly well known in the community. You can go research it yourself. That's what social media is for. But you can be ostracized from different portions of the fandom or community based on what you think of a certain aspect of cosplay or a cosplayer. And it's really divisive sometimes.
And it can be just as simple as the color of their skin, what they're wearing, what they're not wearing.
How accurate is it?
Yeah, and it's just little dumb things like that, which we shouldn't be ostracizing people over, is why cosplay is as divided as it is, and why people abuse it on the internet, especially with social media, because you are behind this anonymous wall. You can say what you want with really no repercussions.
Mostly anonymous.
Mostly. Because it's stuff that you wouldn't say to this person if they were standing right in front of you, and we know that.
Yep. And, you know, sorry to get a little political there, but, you know, there are certain aspects of cosplay that really do drive passions in the community or society, take your pick, and it can really separate people. I know that even something as far as the amount of skin one shows in a costume has been very, very divisive sometimes. But people can have their opinions and still uplift other cosplayers and still be very civil, very respectful, and very encouraging of the hobby itself, and set aside maybe some of the more passionate personal opinions.
And I think that's where part of the reason why people don't think cosplay is a community, or even if not a community now, maybe it was back then, is because people are not setting aside those personal passionate opinions. Their focus is more on, I'm right, you're wrong. You need to follow it my way. No, you need to follow it my way. No, you need to follow it my way. And it just becomes so divisive that we can't uplift one another. We can't provide the support we need in order to make cosplay better. Instead, we're just constantly fighting and butting heads. And it's different because the type of fighting that we see on the convention scene in person is very, very tame compared to the online scene, where it is way too brutal and does not need to be happening. Like, it is inhumane in many ways.
In a very literal sense, the things that are said are not things humans should say.
It's border, well, I shouldn't say borderline, it is disgusting sometimes. It is absolutely disgusting sometimes.
So if we wish to become a community again, you know, one solid, happy cosplay family, we need to do less of the family feuding and more of the family friending. You know, it honestly doesn't take much except a good civil attitude and, hey, you worked really hard on that costume. Even if you don't recognize the character, if you don't think it's accurate, if you think that person should have done something differently, doesn't matter. They worked hard on it. And that is a great way of helping to uplift the community, at least in my opinion. Because I think we can all recognize that we all work our butts off on it.
Even the simplest, the quote-unquote simplest costume is still work. It's still hard work.
It is literal blood, sweat, and tears many times.
How many of us have bled on costumes? How many of us have cried over a costume?
How many of us have sweated in the making of a costume?
And wearing it, yeah.
You know, how many of us have injured ourselves in the making of? Yes. How many of us have stayed up the night before a convention and worked on some aspect of your costume? Yes.
One time, never again, and that was for a friend.
All it takes is one. We've all done it. So we can at least all have that in common, because that's what makes a community, is that we have this passion for our hobby. We have this passion for making cool things and dressing up and being the nerdiest nerd that we can be. And I think that is rockin' cool.
So while I don't think that we are in a community mindset anymore, I think it's nice to work back towards that community ideal. I think that's a good goal for us to have as cosplayers. But we each gotta take that step to ensure that we continue to uplift one another, that we respect each other, but also understanding that our divisive opinions probably need to be re-examined if they're that harmful to other people. We all got to take responsibility for that.
Yes, and we do understand that to a point we are preaching to the choir.
Right.
Not everybody needs to hear this. But 2020 having been the year it has been, with all of the introspection and reflection that a lot of us have had to do this year, especially recently.
Yeah.
I think all of us could at least take one step back and just examine our passions for cosplay and how we can help better the community. Because heaven knows, with 2020, we could definitely use some more positivity. I agree, Luster Candy. I am all for making things better in 2020.
Especially for this latter half of the year, because my dude's like, okay, Halloween is on a Saturday. I am, like, prepping myself for not having Halloween, and I'm very disappointed in this. I want to have Halloween in some family.
We're going to have a Zoom Halloween. We're all going to get on a call. We're going to dress up in costumes. We're going to sit here with our little trick-or-treat pails, which unfortunately, like, you'll have to self-fill with candy because you can't go around to everybody else.
That's fine.
Or we're just gonna pass candy emoticons back and forth. Like, here's a cookie. Here's a little piece of cake. You know, here's a little bottle of soda. Whatever emoticons people have now. And yes, there will be an After Dark.
Because we always do that.
Because we always do it for Halloween. So, yes, there will be one of those. Though it will not be on Zoom. It'll be Zoom-a-wee.
We'll have to start prepping for that now. All right, hang on.
Hey, I just want to say that I'll save that for the after session.
All right.
Because we're already running up on time anyway.
Right.
But I'll also address Allie's question in the after session, too.
I have a story to tie in with all of that, so it'll be even better.
Yes. So, for now, we will call an end to this episode 213 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you guys would like to join in the conversation for what you think makes a cosplay community, your thoughts on how we're doing as a community, or maybe just, you know, your favorite episode of the community television show, feel free to join us via any of our social media, which you can find here.
The musical episode's the best one, just FYI.
Or, of course, if you would like to keep your conversations off of the public forums, you can email us, podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, please stay healthy, please stay safe, wear those masks. Happy cosplaying, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.